Amen? So I always tell people, if you're looking for a good place where you can belong, a family you can belong, I tell you, this is it. Well, Kingdom greetings. This is good. So please, next Sunday, bring, I hope all of you can bring, whoever is a mother figure in your life, could be your aunt, or if you're a mother, please make it a priority to be here. And then be here on time for the service, because I was asked if I could shorten the service to 1 hour, which I said, I don't see any reason why not. You know, when we come together, the focus is nobody else but Jesus, all right? And Jesus can work in 2 hours, 3 hours, 30 minutes, 5 minutes. It's not about the time. You know, it's really not about the time. So this morning, again, I want to continue with why pray. I have been on this journey myself of prayer. And I tell you guys, it's been great. I feel like every day, every month, I'm growing in Jesus. And the closer I get to Him, what the Bible says, the closer you get to God, the closer He is to you, right? So God is always available. He wants deep relationship with us. You know, it's not worth it to compare your relationship with God, compare it with somebody else's relationship with God. Because we all can have this deep relationship with the Lord. I like the last song we were singing here, Jesus, We Lift Our Eyes to You. Because it says in Psalm 34, 5, says, those who look to Him are radiant. You know what that means? Your face will reflect. Wow. You know, they always say your heart reflects your, whatever is going in your heart reflects on your face. If you're sad, your face will tell it. If you're joyful, your face will tell it. If you're troubled, your face will tell it. But thank God for Jesus, because all those things that can bring us down find their limits through the blood. I have a couple verses I want us to go through. We can start putting them on the screen. We're going to start with Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 and 8. Matthew 6, 5 and 8, it says, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Verse 6. But you, when you pray, go into your room, meaning it could be in your private room, but it could mean also in the depth of your soul. Go in your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. That's another two good words right there. Secret place. You know, if I don't have a prayer life in the secret place, there's no way I'm going to have a prayer life in the public. So if you can't pray in private, you can't pray in public. I love it in our home groups when I ask somebody to pray and it's like their first time to pray. Because most of the time people associating prayer to the pastor, the leader. But then all of a sudden you ask somebody, hey, won't you pray? They're like, me? Yes, you. So I encourage you. This is what the word says. Go in your secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Verse 7. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Verse 8. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. Okay, there's a lot in this verse, but I'm just going to read it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. It says, therefore, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. How? How do we come? Not with nothing arrogant, but bold. Bold. You're not shy. You know, you're not like, you know, like this kid who is afraid of father, you know. Dad, do you think I can have a glass of milk? You know, I don't know about you, but it's the worst thing when a kid is afraid of the parents. It's like, no, you come boldly. You know, I remember when my kids were little, I told them, and I still tell them that. Even nowadays, whatever meeting I'm at, if my phone rings, it's my wife, my children, I'm going to answer. And I told my kids when they were little, I said, it doesn't matter where I'm at. If you need me, you always have access. If you need me, you can't be like, oh, my dad is in a meeting. There's no such a thing. Let us come boldly before the throne, to the throne of grace, that we may obtain what? Grace and mercy and find grace to help us. In where? In what? Times of needs. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Rejoice always. Oh my goodness. Pray without ceasing. Rejoice in everything. Give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. What's the will of God in Christ Jesus for you? Rejoice always. Wow. Have you ever met those negative so-called Christians? They're always negative. They always see, I mean, I've heard it, you guys heard it too. Instead of seeing the glass half empty, won't you see it half full? What a perspective. You know, instead of seeing winter, it's cold all the time. I'm talking to you guys who don't like winter. Okay, listen to me now. It's all about perspective. Instead of seeing winter, cold, dreary, yeah, it can be miserable, but look forward to spring. Can I have a better witness? So in every season, there's beauty. Be joyful always. Oh, my Lord, thank you for your word, Jesus. Verse 16, that was a verse. Yeah, we read that. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing. Help us, Lord. Everybody say, help us, Lord. Help me, Jesus. Let's pray this together. Help me, Jesus. Be anxious. Anxious. That's one word I used to have challenge with. I'm still learning it. Be anxious for nothing. Meaning have no anxiety for nothing. You know, we're trying to take care of this physical body because we believe that the Holy Spirit, I'll get deeper in that later, maybe today or next time. But our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So I'm finding out that I have high anxiety. Guys, I never used to have anxiety. I remember 7-8 years ago, I used to have chronic back pain. I mean, crazy back pain. I mean, I'm like a young man. I'm like, I can't move. I always have this back pain shooting down my legs. So finally, I'm like, please, somebody cut my back open, do something, get rid of this pain. But unfortunately, sometimes the steroids, those surgeries don't take care of the problem because it could be inflammation. I didn't know that. So one time I was in Pennsylvania. I drove to the ER. I said, I'm going, hey, somebody needs to save me from this pain. I don't know what needs to happen. Okay. Then 2 hours later, I called my wife. I said, yeah, man, I'm in the hospital because I can't take this anymore. They give me a bunch of steroids. But they did an x-ray. And the x-ray revealed I had chronic inflammation in my back. Well, I mean, I had no idea what that was, but I'm in pain. So finally, Kendra, thank God for her, always, she says, you better not take any pill. I was getting ready to swallow a couple of them just so I could feel better by the time I get home. She said, you better not take any of those things. I said, what are you talking about? She's like, come over here. I said, okay, honey, I came. She says, you know what? I've been reading this book, and I think our problem is bread. Because I tell you, this woman, after I got married, she started making those beautiful loaf bread, man. It's like, they're tasty. I smell them. I could eat 3 loaf of bread. I was young, you know, I could eat a lot. I ate a lot of bread. You know, bread turned into sugar and all that stuff. So we ate a lot of bread. I mean, there's a bakery not far from my house. I smell the bread. I'll go and buy like $5 of bread and I eat them on the way home. It was good. So she decided we're going to see a nutritionalist. And then, of course, when we went, he said, test this. You are fully inflamed. 8 years ago, I did a detox, complete detox. I hated the detox. I was grumpy doing the detox. But thank God for accountability, because there are times during the detox I wanted to cheat and break the detox. Thank God for my wife. She's like, no, you can't do that. See, now we're 40. When we're 60, we want to be healthy. You see, even in prayer and anxiety, because sometimes we want prayer to fix something. Oh man, I want to pray and my prayer must open that door. But what I'm realizing right now, studying this, prayer comes with principles. Thank you for this, amen. Principles. That's why people want God to do something quick. You know, God, they even said it to Jesus, why don't you do a miracle so we can believe? In John chapter 5, chapter 6, I believe. We're not going to go there. But there's this story, a bunch of people following Jesus, and they said, oh, they love it because Jesus fed them. Some people, they come to follow Jesus because they think Jesus can feed them. They think Jesus can, heal them. Jesus can restore their marriage, their relationship. So they came to Jesus with this expectation. Expectation. Expectation in Spanish, right? They came to Jesus with this expectation. They want, Lord, I come to you, I'm going to serve you, but you're going to do this, until Jesus really come in saying, guys, you're not following me because you want me. You're following me because you're not coming to church because you're after me. You come to church because you think I'm going to do this and that. But let me break it to you. Unless you eat my flesh, unless you drink my blood, meaning unless we are in relationship, you can pray from today till you die. You won't find any answer. That's why people, they always, you know, you see it online, or social media, or everywhere online. Everybody's like, oh, we pray for you. Who are you praying to? What are you praying? Some people just say it to say it. Oh, we're praying. Praying what? Going back to my story, I remember in a couple meetings, I'm like, guys, when they asked to share, I said, you know what? I believe in the power of prayer. I believe in the gospel. I believe in Christ. I believe he died for this back pain. I believe he died for the pain that's treating my legs. I believe that he died so I could feel good. There's nothing like feeling good like I'm feeling good now. Guys, twice, in different scenarios, people prayed for me. I was healed. There was one time in Florida. I was in a pastoral prayer meeting. I mean, faith was in the room. People are praying. Guys, I felt something go down my spine. Guys, and I was in pain. And all of a sudden, I'm like, man, I start jumping. I started like, I'm healed. I'm healed.
Hallelujah. Then, I mean, everybody was like, yeah, you know, praise the Lord. Yes, Jesus, you did it. I was just like, yeah. But my problem was, I didn't give up bread. See, Jesus healed. He's a miracle worker. But if I'm violating this principle that is destroying my body, guess what? I'm going to go back to pain. So you know that curve? Maybe you know a couple of them, that road that says 35 miles an hour when you're turning. It says 35. It doesn't matter if he's like, you know what, Jesus, I'm going to test my faith today. Lord, me and you, we're going to have a testimony. Hallelujah. Me and you, we're going to have a testimony. Guess what? Today, I'm going to, as a matter of fact, I'm going to church. All right, God? I'm going, you and God, you're having this talk in your car, all right? I'm going to church. Today, I decided I'm going to test my faith. It says, as a matter of fact, you pull a Bible verse. It says, if you have faith like a little mustard seed, you can be driving around that curve 90 miles an hour and nothing will happen. Now, let me break it to you. You already know what's going to happen. You could be praying, in tongue. You could be praying in tongue. You could be like, Jesus, hallelujah, 90 miles an hour. But the curve, you're violating a principle. You're violating a principle. That's why people in church, they don't like prayer. That's why prayer meeting is the least attending meeting in the church. Why? Because people are expecting. They're looking for this big answer for their prayers. But yet, if we don't know how to pray according to God's will, even in your personal life, you won't find the answer. And that's why Jesus is teaching us. He's like, man, be anxious. And then I stop right there. I'm like, okay, so what's going on here? Why do I have anxiety? I pray against anxiety. Why am I being diagnosed with anxiety? I feel it. Well, of course, you know, one of my doctor, he said, she was so good. She's a believer. She's like, you know, I pray for you. You know, pastors carry a lot of anxiety because you carry the burden of people. And then I know my body. When I carry things, it goes to my weak part of my body. You know, when you carry something, when you're anxious, when you worry, it goes either to your head. That's why sometimes people have migraine. You have a constant migraine. It could be like a toothache. It could be a back pain. It could be knee pain. It goes to the weakest section in your... It could be heart disease as well. Mm-hmm. So I was never healed, even though I experienced a miracle for my back, until I applied the principle of the nutritionalist was giving me, the detox. You see, there's a level of intimacy we as believers, when I'm talking about believers, I'm talking about believers in Jesus Christ, followers of Christ, there's a level of intimacy we will never get to until we agree to detox. Until we agree to the principle of detoxing the world in our lives. Until that happens, you'll never experience that revival. I am in revival. As for me and my wife, we are in revival. See, my revival does not depend on the church. That's why everywhere I go, my revival is going to spread, because I carry something. Why do I carry something? Because I am in the secret place. You see, this prayer, remember a couple weeks ago I told you, talking about prayer can't be a sermon. Let prayer be your DNA. That's what the Lord is doing with me. Because I realize, especially now in our age, day of age, guys, if a preacher is not up in prayer, if a pastor is not in the secret place, you're not going to survive. If a church, if our church, if we're not praying, we won't survive. If I am not praying, I won't make it. I'm going to get discouraged. What's happening? I mean, don't go and listen to it, but the crazy thing that's happening in the church.
A couple months ago, somebody was doing a big men event. You know what they bought? They bought a stripper. I know. I'm like, what? So what's happening in the church? They are substituting the joy and the presence of the Lord with entertainment. Yeah, because it's just like, I mean, maybe I should, I'm going to say it. You know, somebody visited us sometimes. They said, man, you know, Pastor, I like your church. This is good. I like this. This looks like a family, but it's too long. The service is too long. So when you go to a church, what are you looking for? So I said, oh yeah, God bless you. This is what we do. I said, we don't put Jesus in the box here. Oh yeah, we don't. This is what we do. You know, yeah, there are a lot of people that are shopping church around. But when you go to church, what are you looking for? Even for people watching online, when you tap in the church, what are you looking for online? What are you looking for? I know what I'm looking for. I've only been part of 3 churches my whole life. Because every time I go to a church, what I'm looking for, if I see Jesus, I'm like, Jesus is here, I'm sticking. I'm staying. If the presence is here, and then Jesus is priority number one, and then the word, of course, if Jesus is there, the word is going to be preached, if there's room for the presence. Because if there's no room for the presence, guess what? Guys, if I don't pray for you, you think this little speech I'm giving you right now, is it enough to convict you of your sin? No. I got to stay on my knees with the word, interceding for your soul. So, I wasn't healed because I was violating the principles, even though I experienced a miracle. That makes sense? So then I moved to America. It's good. You guys know the story. We're here. But the life, I always had a sweet tooth. But then my sweet tooth has grown in the past couple years. You know. Guys, I had my first ice cream cone. I'm going to give you a story, secret. I had my first ice cream cone when I was 18. And I was dating my wife. I'm like, man, how come I never knew of ice cream? Well, I know why, because my dad, he didn't care. He never took us out for ice cream. So then, you know, it was school, church, busy, and then they never bought it at the house. And then I'm 18, I'm dating this girl, and she decided we go out for ice cream. I'm like, what is that? So I went, we bought the first cone. I'm, ice cream! I said, guys, an hour later, I had 17 cones. But yeah, they're like the kitty cones, all right. My first acquaintance with ice cream, man. I had 17 cones because I never had ice cream before. Okay, so then, of course I moved here. It's good, you know. But I'm watching what I eat, and then in recent year, I've been having my back pain again, especially in the past year. I'm dealing with my back. I mean, sometimes my back is just locked up. Of course, with everything that's going on with Haiti, church, people, whatever. And then, you know, finance, you know, trouble, children, whatever. All that pile in. And so of course, I'm going back. I'm like, okay, what's going on? Put that verse back on there. Philippians chapter 4, be anxious about nothing. So that's what we did. We went to see our nutritionist again. Of course, I'm high on anxiety. So what do you do for your anxiety? You see, anytime we worry, think about it. This is my testimony. So right now, you know, when you wake up in the middle of the night, I'm learning this. When you wake up in the middle of the night, especially between 2 and 3, your liver is trying to detox. Let you think about that. And during the day, we think about so many things. We have so many things that occupy our mind. You know, some of us, you can't live in quiet. You always have to have the news. Let me tell you, let me give you an advice. If you must have noise in your home, put the Bible. Turn off the news. Put something, audio Bible. So if someone has to speak in your mind, shut the world off. There's tons. Call me. Kathy and I will help you. We'll help you find. We'll even install it on your phone. You know, you go on YouTube and type the book of Matthew. Thank God for YouTube. You know, those people. They're making their money. But it's the resources is there. Turn something that would feed your spirit. And everything else you can't change, let it go. I don't have kids here. Let it go. You can't have anymore. Here I am. Oh, don't take my word for it, okay? I know the melody. Heidi's laughing. You know, just let it go. That's actually one of my favorite songs. You know, let it go. You got to let it go. You got to let it go. So anything that I can't change right now, I must let go. I have no control. Do you have control on tomorrow? Then why must I be anxious about tomorrow? Why must I allow tomorrow keep me up? So now your sons, your daughters, your grandchildren, they're in the world. You know, they're not serving the Lord. Okay, would having anxiety over that change their heart? No. Let me tell you what will change their heart. Jesus. Oh, Father, I bring Johnny before you, Lord. Lord, I worry about him. Father, I worry about him. Oh, Holy Spirit, I pray for Johnny. He needs you. You intercede for Johnny. You pray for them. Because when you're spending time in the presence and you're praying for Johnny, you know what's going to happen? You're activating. You are activating heaven's will on Johnny's life. That's why I am experiencing such a peace. It's been 2 weeks. I sleep like a drunken monkey. I don't want to say I sleep like a baby because baby, they wake up all through the night. But I'm like, man, I'm sleeping good. I'm sleeping good. Even when I wake up in the middle of the night, I said, what, Lord? Guys, now when I wake up in the middle of the night, I said, what, Lord? Because I'm like, okay, Jesus, my body is your temple. So I am, of course, now I'm no bread, okay? For a little bit, no bread. I'm not eating bread. No, I can have a little ice cream, they say. But it's not just that, because it's not law. You see, now I am doing everything in my power to be spiritually fit, mentally fit. But what about physically fit? You must exercise. Physical exercise is good for you. If you don't exercise, it's not good for you. Get off the house. Get out of the house. Go for a walk. Find a partner. Find a friend. Go take care of yourself. Because guess what? Even me, from a pastoral perspective, when I'm looking at someone who's just destroying their body, and I must pray for them, guess what? I'm going to give it to you. Yeah, I'll pray in the name of Jesus. But you know what? I'm praying for discipline. I pray for discipline because I say, this is my perspective. As long as you are, if you're not 95, guess what? Take care of your body. Because I think once you're 95, you can't eat whatever you want. You know, unless you're like my brother Walt, you have this relationship with Dr. Pepper that nobody else on earth has. You should have a Dr. Pepper once in a while. Not every day. Maybe he can pray for you. You know, not every day. You see, we have a debt, but we're not obligated to live by the sinful desire, sinful nature. And you know what that means? a lot of time we put emphasis on sinful nature, you know, sin, sexual immorality, you know, adultery, you know, backstabbing. How about gluttony? How about self-control? How about to know, you know, what's happening in my spirit? See now my body, when I see certain food, it's like my mouth is saying, oh, that would taste good. But then my body is thinking, my spirit and my body, they're like, my spirit is like, you know, that's not going to be good for you. So, and then automatically I choose. Did you hear what I say? I choose. You know, in Galatians chapter 5, it says the spirit, the fruit of the spirit is self-control, controlling yourself. So you master this. You mastering it. And I say, I'm not going to be a pastor with a big belly. Okay, now for those of you with big belly, God bless you. Okay? This is me. I'm talking about me. Okay? And if what I'm saying is challenging you, God bless you. But guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to take care of myself so I don't end up with a big belly, because I don't want a big belly. And I have the right to not want a big belly. That's my right. And you have a right too. So I am challenging you. Because so many times we come to church, spirit, 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 spirit. Your spirit, Jesus, prayer. Your spirit, heaven, heaven. Guess what? God has blessed us with so much time on this earth. And if you don't manage it, you'll be miserable on this earth. So as we talk about prayer, why pray? Well, you know, some people would be like, well, you know, the reason I'm not praying because I don't find the answer. But what about the principle for prayer? Like it says here, being anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Supplication, you know what that means? You keep saying it. You're pleading with God. You're saying, Lord, this is your word. I stand on it. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. There's another verse, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Did I put that in there? Everything good? Now this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to what? There it is. So whatever I ask must be in line with the Lord's will. Go to the next slide where it says prayer. What does prayer mean? I find this on the internet, so whoever put it together, I give the credit. It says prayer. When you pray, pause and focus on the Lord. It is important to make time for Him. Stop right there. Once they all come, you can take a picture of the screen. It says, reflect on the Lord, on the word of the Lord, and what He has done for you. And know Him by His word. Ask for clarity on His will. He's always listening. He's always speaks. Yield. Man, we don't like this. Yield to His all-knowing truth, no matter your understanding. So right there, that's your prayer. Jesus said, my house must be a house of prayer. But then, let's take that verse out of the building perception. Let's put it in our hearts. So Jesus is saying, your heart must be a house of prayer. Your soul, your house, my house, in your car, it must be a house of prayer. You know, reading the Bible and praying with other Christians is crucial for your spiritual growth. That's why the enemy wants you to do Christian life by yourself. You know, you have this big thing, people are church shopping. But when I talk to somebody, they say, you know, we're shopping church. I said, that's great, but what's on your list? Because if you're shopping, you have no list, you end up with a bunch of stuff. Anybody ever experienced that? Yeah, let's go shopping. Let's go to the mall. What am I going for? And then when you're walking out with a bunch of bags, like this. Right? Did you need those? I don't know. I just went shopping. Really? That's called a bad steward. So reading the word and praying with other believers is good. It's crucial for your spiritual life. In other words, prayer is to be such an obvious part when we come together. That's why we pray during worship. Put the next slide where it says, because I want to get to those. The scripture determines the content of prayer. Not my feeling. The Bible. Because prayer that is inconsistent with scripture will not honor God. So when I pray, I got to pray the word. When I pray, I pray the word. So now for me to pray the word, I need to know the word. Or I need to be in the word. In the Bible, the word of God. You read the word of God and you pray according to the word of God. Next slide. It's a good quote from William. It says, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint on his knees. Well, I encourage you, get on your knees. There's nothing like being on your knees. Next slide. And then I wanna finish with these and then continue some other time. But one of the reason, before I say this, one of the reason I believe that prayer is important in the church because, and I read this, there's this study about churches. It's really sad and it breaks my heart, and I pray for pastors, I pray for everybody, every believers. Did you know that pornography, they have 43 million pages available to people? They make more money than the NFL and the NBA combined, pornography. The statistic shows that 68% of churchgoers, including men and women, are in pornography. 50% of pastors visited a porn stage. So we have a big pandemic. And the crazy thing is, nobody wants to talk about those things. And you ask yourself, how is it even possible? For someone to be doing a men's event, someone come with this clever idea, let's invite this crazy person to do crazy things, to entertain so the guys could laugh. My house should be called the house of prayer. Number two, prayer is what pushes the kingdom of darkness back. And that is why Jesus said, my house shall be called the house of prayer. Prayer is the primary way that we serve the enemy. Notice that we didn't come to mess around. See, now stop right there. When we do prayer meeting, you get rid of the people who's not interested in God. But do like eating together, for festival, music on the lawn. What else? Help me out. Good activity. They're all good. Great activities. Let's go to the beach, enjoy ourselves, party, Super Bowl party, 4th of July party. Man, invite your friends, prayer meeting. Guess who's going to come? Dave, Pauline, all my friends here, the Planks. Sandra, all of you would come. I'm just being funny. But I know, you know who would come. You would come because you know the value in prayer. You know the value in seeking the face of Jesus. Next one. That's when the computer stuck on us. You see, prayer is the key that the Almighty has given us to unlock the resources of heaven and have them unleashed onto the landscape of heaven, of earth. I quoted this according to John chapter 6. Prayer does not manipulate God. You know, oh Lord, I pray, you know, I expect you to do this. Prayer does not do that. Prayer just accepts everything that God intended for you. Prayer is a privilege and an opportunity to know that we get to be in partnership with the one true God. The one true God. Not Allah. Not Bunda. Not whatever other God. I'm not saying they're not somebody's God, but they're not the Almighty God. I'm not belittling anybody's God, but I know there's only one true God, and his name is Jesus Christ the Messiah. And unless you're praying to that God, I'm telling you, you waste. Let me whisper it. Wasting your time. Wasting your time. It is a privilege that we have to partner with God. So if you want victory in your life, let prayer be your DNA. That's how I started it. That's how I'm going to stop today. Let prayer be your DNA. You know, a message like this, I really don't know how to do an altar call. But I know the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. Especially in the subject of you pray and how do you find the result of your prayer. Maybe you need greater discipline. So what I'm going to do, I still have some time. I'm going to create an atmosphere. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. I'm going to create this atmosphere for you to respond to the word of the Lord. If you need to come to the altar, please, you do that. If you need someone to pray with you, we want to make ourselves available for that. Okay? But please, let's give an answer to the word of the Lord this morning. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father.